Hey everybody, this is Spike Ferriston from Spike's Car Radio. We're out here in the porch of at the Malibu Kitchen at the Malibu Country Mart every weekend doing podcasts. My first guest is Jerry Seinfeld. He's right here. We're going to have Jeremy Piven. We're going to have Chris Hardwick. See you soon on Spike's Car Radio.
I think he's over-projecting for a podcast.
And I love to over-project for podcasts. Join me every week at PodcastOne.com and Apple Podcasts.
Hey guys, let me tell you about AMSOIL. Many drivers today are looking to move beyond stock performance. AMSOIL brings that spirit to the engineering of their synthetic motor oil, combining top-tier synthetic technology with unique additives. The result is an oil capable of protecting your engine up to 25,000 miles or 1 year between oil changes. AMSOIL synthetic motor oil shields your engine from the two biggest bumps in the road, wear and deposits. Wear on pistons and cams can lead to a host of issues, including loss of power. AMSOIL provides 75% more engine protection against horsepower loss and wear than required by an industry standard. Deposits on rings and pistons can lead to compression loss, compromising fuel economy and power. AMSOIL synthetic motor oil delivers piston cleanliness 93% above the industry standard. The proof isn't just academic. AMSOIL tests in the field and on the track in extreme conditions and using the most demanding high-performance engines available. Check out AMSOIL.com/shift for more information. AMSOIL, devoted to protection.
Racing, rides, people, and places. With your hosts, Brad Banjor, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
Matt always loves the beginnings of my show.
I do.
Okay.
Welcome, hey, Brad.
Welcome back to Shift and Steer. I'm Brad Fanshaw, and with me today is Matt DeAndrea, the Motor Raider. Is that better, Matt?
Is that your Siri voice?
That's my Siri voice.
Robot voice? Yeah. We are here, like you said, Auctions America at...
No, I didn't say that yet. You just said it for the first time, because
well,
that was a different
here.
Show.
We are in Santa Monica at Barker Hangar for the Auctions America auction. It's been cool. It's a good mix of cars, but it's interesting, and this could probably be like a longer conversation at some point because we got a couple interviews we want to put in here. But overall, I still think the market is down. I think race cars are doing well. I think Japanese cars are starting to move a little bit, but we really started to see a hit on the Italian cars. The last couple of years, Brad, you and I know we've seen Porsches skyrocket. But then everybody started selling their Porsches because they thought it was free money.
A glut in the market, we call it.
And then they thought it was free money, and now it's starting to, let's say, correct itself. And we saw a couple of cool deals. Like today we saw a 2005 Porsche 911 Turbo S convertible. Okay, it's the water-cooled one. It's got the weird whatever bean headlight.
Which go back 5 years ago. It wouldn't even have been at an auction.
Right.
It would have been at a used car sale.
So now, on a typical 911, that year isn't the best year. There's issues with the engine. But those issues with the 911 engine don't carry over to the turbo. The turbo is a bargain, right? And these cars, all day long, people are asking $100,000. They're not getting for it. We saw one here, that 911 turbo convertible. I might have been a Turbo S. Sold for $60,000.
Because that's the realistic price.
That's the realistic price.
Yeah.
And if you're in the market for a cool car that you can drive and is fast, that style 911 Turbo is the way to go. Now, if you want the 911, not the Turbo, you need to get like the 2006 or newer car, right? But 2005, 2004, you get the Turbo, that's a solid car, and the price range is good. I'm telling you, if you bought like a 2010 911 4 or 4S or something like that, you'd spend the same amount of money as a 2005 Turbo. So you can either get the newer car or get the faster Turbo. with the funky headlights.
Well, and likewise, we were talking about the Ferraris, certain models of the Ferraris, the 348, the 355.
Yeah.
You know, those cars are so cheap right now that if you just want something to cruise around and you know, like impress your friends that you've got a Ferrari,
yeah,
that's the car, because almost guaranteed, hold on to it, keep it in good condition, don't wreck it,
yeah,
and 7 years from now, you're probably going to get your money back and probably make some money.
I agree with that. Now, don't be fooled by the guys on eBay or whatever that want $110,000 for a Ferrari 355,
right?
You can buy those
guys
cars.
Whack.
You can buy those cars clean all day long. You can get your typical red with tan leather if you want. I think you can get those cars 70, 75 grand, have a little fun with it, and 3 years from now, maybe get 90 or 100 grand for it.
No, I agree. And the thing is that if you're hanging around with people that aren't Ferrari aficionados, they're going to be equally impressed. You're going to have fun with
yeah.
the car. You're going to go out, enjoy it. You're going to get, you know, good service at the valet. They're going to, whoa, it's a red Ferrari, you know. And,
yeah.
And have fun with it and get yeah. your money out of it.
You,
it's
you
like
had,
a free car.
You had a Ferrari.
I had a 348 TS, yeah.
The three, what was it, black? Black
it
on black?
It was black with a black interior.
It was murdered out.
It was murdered out.
Did you have black wheels?
No. Back then I had bright billet wheels.
Yeah, you did.
That's right, man. I had those two-spoke wheels that we made at the time. But
that was a Boyd wheel?
Yeah, it was a Boyd wheel. It was
yeah.
back when I owned Boyd.
You had
wheels.
The only Ferrari in the world with Boyd wheels.
Probably
on it, right?
at
with
the time.
With a billet
yeah.
wheel on it, right?
Yes. And
when you're doing a billet wheel for a Ferrari, is it like any other car, or do you have to like weigh it, and like do you start getting into like it needs to weigh very similar so you don't throw off the you know the suspension?
No, you're talking pre-computer is when
yeah.
I had this one, so it was nothing to worry
nothing.
About. But the only thing I did find out, maiden voyage, was our valve stems were to the backside of behind the spoke. We hit them,
yeah,
and I was driving through the canyon, and all of a sudden I heard, every time I'd go through a hard turn, I'd hear a tick, 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 tick. And all of a sudden the car started wiggling, and I pulled over to the side of the road, and I had two almost flat tires. And I was like, what the hell? Well, what it was I had rubber valve stems, and every time you'd load the suspension in a turn, they would clip the brake caliper.
Yeah.
And so it
so
would,
they would bend
them
slightly,
so much and just, let a little wisp of air out. So I had to limp it in, like being very careful through the curves
yeah,
to
yeah.
get to the gas station. And then I went to little short, stubby valve stems. But that was the only
it.
Thing we had to
that
fix.
That fixed it.
Out. Yeah.
So as you're driving around, you hear
it. Yeah, it was.
And as you go faster,
it was like, I mean, it was not good. It was not good at all. But you know, you figure that stuff out.
So you had a 348 manual? They're all manual then,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it was all
they
manual.
They didn't go to that F1 transmission like 355.
It had that gearbox, you know, that
with
famous
the
Ferrari.
The gated shifter.
The gated
and,
shifter, yes.
By the way, if you find like a 348 or not, the 348 had them, but if you start finding like a 355 or a 360 with the gated shifter.
They're worth more.
They're worth more now.
Yeah.
You know, those are the cars to have. I drove a 360 with the gated shifter. By the way, not a particularly great car.
And you could misshift that car easily.
Very easily.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny because I drove that 360 and it shifted about as crappy as my Alfa Romeo did.
Yeah.
You know, like you got to shift slowly to do it. But it's cool. And the 348s, the 355s, they're not race cars. They're not really that fast, you know? I mean, obviously, you can get a race trim version, but it wasn't that fast. But the point is you can get a cool car, and let's call them, for lack of something better, entry-level investment cars. I mean, obviously, you can go buy cars for less than that price, but when you're getting into a Ferrari, like you own a Ferrari, like everybody dreams of owning a Ferrari, you can get into a 348 or a 355, get a pretty nice car. Well below 100 grand.
But what people got to remember is that it's one thing to afford the car, the other thing to afford the maintenance.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You're not going to put 10,000 miles a year on the car. Like, you know, you
well, every 3,000 miles, it better be at the dealership. You just got to remember that.
Yeah. But that's fine because all you got to do is take the engine out every single time.
Exactly. You and know? Change the belts and the, you know.
But I'll tell you, the market is not what it used to be. I mean, we just saw a 69 Shelby. granted, the 69 Shelby, picture it in your head. It's got the weird nose in the front.
Nacoducks.
Very long. And it's got like 12 scoops in the hood, whatever all those holes are in there.
Well, it has three, Matt.
And no, it's got two on the front, two in the back, and I think two in the middle, right? The 69 Shelby. It has
the blow through. Yeah, the Nacoducks.
Yeah. Nacoducks. It got up to 50-something thousand, and I don't even know if it sold.
No, but that same car just 10 years ago would have been well over 100,000.
Yeah, $1.25, $1.50.
And 10 years ago, it would have been a $200,000 car if it was a nice one.
Yeah. I think there was a very short period, you know, where those 69s, which aren't the most valuable, were regarded as more collectible than, like, the 65
I think it was
Shelby.
Right around the era that my partner bought his.
You know, and you're like, hey, the 69 is going to be better than the 65, and then that flipped because those are, you know, four times as much
yeah,
money
now
or whatever.
Yeah, now the 65, that quintessential race car, you know.
You know, so I guess the point is the market has ups and downs, and right now is the time to buy. I feel like it's the time to buy. I don't want to say the market's
low.
What'd
you buy here today, by the way?
We didn't buy anything today.
Okay.
Okay. But we were here with Barry Weiss, which we'll get into in a little while. And he had a couple of cars that he was selling and a trailer and stuff that he was selling. And I think he sold a few things, but still not quite at the high range of what he was looking to get. Like, the market's
not
a little low.
Not at the estimated, yeah.
You know, Barry's a cool guy. You know, he'll tell you a little bit about his story and how wacky he is. But a guy like that, you know, he's more concerned with, I want to move some stuff, put a little money in my pocket so I can work on the next car, buy the next project, or have some fun. He was a little less concerned with, I've got to get top dollar.
Right.
Right? He bought them well. There was a lot of room for him on those cars. So, you know, there's a story there. You know, so if he was selling something for 60 grand and got 52 grand, he's okay with that. You know, that's not a make or break kind of deal for him. But that's kind of the market that we're in right now with these things.
Yeah, and somebody else came, got a new toy, and they'll move it down the road. But you're absolutely right. The auctions are a little bit different right now. The whole market's a little bit different right now. And we're not seeing these, what actually were, overinflated prices.
They are. So I wouldn't say the market's down. I said the market is corrected.
It's corrected to more of what it should be. And speaking of correcting to what they should be, Heather Storm just walked in. She's going to jump on the mic here. Now, you might know Heather Storm from Velocity Channel's hit show Garage Squad, and which has now gone into an hour, and she flew in specifically to talk to Matt and I from Chicago.
Yeah, she flew
all the way in. We're here at the airport. She goes, I can land. I can just come in on my private jet. And speaking of that correction, she corrected from Manhattan's to Corona's. And welcome to the show.
I totally came just for this show and for the auction today, because how cool is this auction?
And also she lives in L.A.
And also I live in L.A. But you know that, I live in
Chicago. That's
fine.
You know, but seriously, guys, Chicago is amazing.
Really?
I mean, have you spent much time there?
Yes.
Not much time.
Okay,
I've
Matt,
been.
If you haven't spent much time there, you don't just want to go for a weekend. You really want to kind of get to know the city.
I went to Chicago, and I got on like a boat thing, and they drove me around.
A boat thing or a boat?
I don't know. It was like trolley boat.
Trolley.
Oh, that's an interesting.
It was like a tour boat thing, and then they just went around. They just talked about all these.
Did you do the architecture tour? Is that what you're talking about?
It wasn't so much that, because they talked a lot about disaster, like that building burnt down and that building burnt down and that building burnt down.
Chicago fire.
Yeah, I guess.
There is that.
I don't know much about Chicago, but I could tell you that it seemed like the fire was their claim to fame, because this dude's tour was like, everything burnt down and look how great it is now. We built it all back. So,
well, that is actually what you just said is a big part of Chicago, because what happened is after they had the Chicago fire, they literally had a canvas to build whatever you wanted. So architects came in from all over the world and started building their structures that they could build their name off
of. I guess it
of.
Was the architectural tour, you know, but every once in a while he'd pass by a building and be like, we never fixed that one.
Maybe you shouldn't go in that one. Yeah. Don't stay there.
It's like that one didn't get fixed. And it's kind of burnt
now,
up.
How
and
many
brown
of them were they?
A lot of smashed windows.
And Al Capone was in that one.
Yeah, a lot
and
of Al Capone was smashed in that windows one. And stuff. Yeah, there was a little bit of that, but it was nice. And it was weird for me because I don't know why. I think Chicago is just sort of like a Midwest thing to me. But there was lots of water.
So yeah. So in Midwest, you don't think water. You think Midwest, no water.
No, I think like corn and
cornfields and wheat
I think,
fields.
You know, yeah, I think Kevin Costner and baseball.
But as Brad brought up, there's a thing called Great Lakes. There's five of them, actually. They're
yes.
pretty big.
They're huge, Matt.
The one I saw was oceans. Huge. The one I saw was huge. Apparently, like, went to Canada and back.
No, actually, it's funny you say that, though, because when my friend came to visit a couple weeks ago, her and her fiancé, and I took them to do the architecture tour. I did. And I took them to the Green Mill and go see the jazz, to Blue's place. And, of course, I had to show them Lake Michigan.
Did you go downstairs in the Green Mill? In the Green Mill?
We didn't go downstairs, no.
Oh,
I missed something special.
Yeah, the downstairs area.
What's downstairs?
Well, it's just the cool, you know.
It's like the upstairs, but with no windows.
Well, upstairs, there's bands playing. And
right,
it's
well, it's the
cool.
same thing downstairs, but it's a little more subdued, and it's, yeah, it's cool.
Well, the thing she couldn't get over is she kept saying, the ocean out there is crazy. I'm like, you mean like Michigan?
Yeah.
Oh, a lake. And I just can't think it's a lake. She's like, I can't see the other side. I'm like, it's a big lake.
I don't know. Like, you know there's a lake there. Then you see it. And you're like, it's really big.
It's huge. Yeah. It has waves.
That's what she said. She goes, it has waves.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a big lake.
Are those people surfing? It's like, I don't know what they're doing, but it's big.
You know what I miss about Chicago is the Sears Tower.
Is it not there? Where'd
no, it's
go?
Something, they
it's
call
there.
It something different now.
The
river. Oh, is it like the racetrack in Sonoma with Sears Point that
right,
was Infineon,
now
and now it's just Sonoma Racetrack?
Somebody else owns
so
it now.
The
so
Sears
now
Tower. Like, are there any Sears stores left?
It will always be the Sears Tower.
Right. Which is?
Have you ever gone, Heather?
I haven't.
You got to go up to the top.
You got to. Is that where you sort of Ferris Bueller your way up on the top?
Yeah, all the way up.
You got to go all the way up and then put your forehead against the window and look down.
So I totally want to do that.
I think it's the fourth tallest building.
In America or the
At
world?
At one time, it was the tallest building. Now
in
it's
America.
The fourth. I think it's the fourth.
Because I feel like Dubai should build a bunch of buildings
But they're not in America,
man.
No, they're not in
America. So you go all the way up to the top, and then you can just stay up there on the top. You're still inside.
Yes.
But if you want to be really risque, you can walk out onto this fully glass balcony. Glass floor, glass walls, all the way around. No ceiling.
It's like walking on air.
But you have to do it in your underwear. Right,
no,
like
don't
that's...
allow you. You have to do it naked now.
Okay,
in the summer months,
I'm in. Commando's the way to go.
Yeah, that's right. And
Commando's the way to go.
No, but
speaking of that,
the
by
best
the way,
way, to get over.
Did you guys do the one downtown LA? The slide on the side
the
of the
naked
building.
Slide?
No, they
naked
don't. They don't slide. Let you do naked slide. Oh no, it's like a
it, no,
some
it's
bank
a
building.
Glass slide. That
What's
comes
the name
out
of it? Yeah.
Yeah,
I did it. Yeah, I
you
did
it.
Yeah, I went up there.
Well, what is it now?
So there's a building downtown LA. I forgot the name of the thing, but it's like a Bank of America building or
we
something.
We just had some kind of device we could resource.
No,
and
what would that be?
Come up
it's
with
called
something where we would
Sky
just, like,
something, although that makes
you know,
sense.
Where you would just like put in like L.A. building with glass
sky,
slide.
Sky slide.
Sky slide. Do you slide?
Yes.
Oh, so you slide.
Yes. So
you go out one level and go down to another.
That's
right.
You go to the top of the building. And there's a line.
I mean, if it was 1,000 feet above L.A., that would make your palms sweat. Wouldn't that be cool?
That would be really cool.
And there's a slide, but it's made of glass, and it hangs out the side of the building.
I
and
would
you
call
go from
skyscape
like
skyscape L.A. That's what
sky,
I would call it.
Sky space. Sky space.
Okay, I agree with that. Those are my old eyes.
Sky space L.A. You'd go there, and you're up on, I don't know, 20-something, 30, 40, 50-something floor, and you go from, like, 50 to 49. It's actually...
I want to do that.
You should do it. So the slide itself is short. It happens very quickly, and
you're
it's kind of pricey.
Feet above the ground.
It's kind of quickly for what it does, but this is
you're
the
only
trick.
On one floor, basically.
Yeah. What you do is they put you on, like, a blanket, okay? And then you sit on this blanket and you slide down. Okay. Now, the trick is some people have done this during the day. Some people have done this during the night. and I go like right at the twilight.
Yeah, that sounds good.
There's just enough light you can see off the distance, but dark enough you can't see all the way down.
Mm.
So what you do is, and then don't look at your feet or look at the blanket you're on. Look over the edge. Just make
it. The whole time.
Yeah. So as you slide, you kind of go up on an angle. So I would just slide, and then you just look down, and for a split second, you're just floating above the earth.
You're
and
thinking
you're
like I am flying.
And you slide down, and it's quick. And at the bottom, it's like a big pad, you know, like a gym pad or something.
Yeah.
And there's somebody there that lets you do it.
Safe.
And there's more of like a museum and all kinds of stuff that you can do.
They fill it as 70 floors of nothingness below you.
I want to do that.
Yeah.
I think Mansi's adventure needs a trip.
I think so.
There's an observation deck. You can go outside and you can see what's going on. The views are amazing and all
and
that stuff.
It says only two people have died on this. They've only gone over the edge twice.
Oh, get out of here. They're not reporting that. They would never tell us.
Right. But it is
not
cool.
It's just urban legend.
They would never tell us how many people actually died.
It is kind of cool to, like, you make a thing. You're like, let's go downtown. You know, whenever the sun goes down, 7:30 or something, go down there, do the slide, and then you hit downtown. You grab some food and you go to what's the really good Mexican restaurant down there? Like, there's the Mexican because you were talking about
the
underground.
Really good one.
Wait, so you were talking about in Chicago the basement bar with the music. Well, there's a Mexican restaurant, and then underneath it is a jazz club that's small.
I didn't know about this.
And it's awesome.
Oh. And I know what it is. It's Adobe Beloy.
It's not.
Yes.
No. And no.
It's Casita, that little Casita.
No.
But, Casita Beloy.
But also, when you get down there, there's a couple of, like, the hanging pod chairs. It's like these, looks like half an egg. And you could sit in them, and you could swing around in them and listen to jazz and have a cocktail.
You know what? We might have to invite Matt onto Mansi's Adventure to take us on this lovely trip.
I'm trying to relate to you guys
right
with your
now.
Show.
We'll go do Mexican food and then 70 floors above. And have either
do
of you
the
ever
slide,
done
do the Mexican place?
Have you ever done any of the rides on top of the Stratosphere in Las Vegas?
Ooh,
they have two.
Because the Stratosphere is a dump.
I know.
It totally is.
The very top.
That place is sketch as fuck.
But on the very top, there is one of those that where you sit there and it shoots you up.
Yeah.
And when you do them at amusement parks, when you do that one where it's nothing, and all of a sudden it just goes, boom, shoots you up.
Yeah.
Well, you have perspective because the ground's right there. On top of that, the minute you lose the building, all you see is just horizon.
And, like, the lights high and desert. Yeah, yeah.
It,
I did the roller coaster one.
Okay, something went wrong. I'm going right off the top.
And
it is so cool.
Yeah.
And we were there once, and you know.
The worst part about the Stratosphere on that ride is the sketchy, shitty hotel you're in.
Yes, you're wondering.
And on the way up, you're like, there's no way that thing is properly maintained.
This is why I have not done that ride. It's because I actually don't trust the hotel it's in.
That's the problem. It's
you
the
have
lack
to take
of
a
trust.
Friend, and you do what I did. You know,
you
Rick who works
insurance
for me.
Policy.
Rick who works for me, right?
Yeah.
We're sitting there, and the guy comes around. He checks everybody's harnesses and everything. And right before the guy hit the switch, I kind of look over. He's just about ready to hit the switch. I look over. I go, Rick, you're not harnessed in. And he looked down. He let go because he was like cross-armed, holding on. And he looked down. He let go, and he looked down, and boom.
Oh, that's
really?
Terrible.
It was so mean.
Now, you know that actually has happened to people in the past on roller coasters. No, where they weren't harnessed in. I mean,
every time I go to Vegas, I look at the Stratosphere and I see one guy shooting off the top, flying in the distance. And
luckily, it doesn't happen that often.
There's Rick, not strapped down, just shot him off like a BB into the distance.
It happens, guys. It's a rare thing, but it's happened.
There goes another 6'5" guy that we don't have to compete with, Matt.
I did the roller coaster thing out there. There's the hotel with the roller coaster, and there's a couple of those angles
where
it kind of just goes off to the edge.
Now, there's multiple roller coasters, but you just said a little symbol that means you're talking about the roller coaster at the top.
Yeah, when they're on
at the top
of the building.
Yeah, and now there's the big weird merry-go-round thing.
That's called that's the largest Ferris wheel. That's what you're talking about.
Oh, is that the one that was made famous by the people having sex in it?
I never heard of it.
I don't know, but
that,
but that was
because they didn't know that they were on camera the whole time and they were having sex in it.
Okay,
and
so here's the thing: is
apparently on camera, make a thing to know
that Ferris wheel is dumb. Okay,
why is
but
it dumb?
So
it's got liquor in it. How's it dumb?
Yeah. No.
You're in there for 30 minutes.
But that wasn't the original idea, right? So what they did is
the high roller is what it's called.
First, okay. They built this, yeah, the high roller
the original
Ferris wheel.
Idea was to fill them with water, and you would swim.
And
them, right?
They put a bunch of people in them, and it goes around in circle, and it's super slow, and it goes around one time. You pay like $40, and it goes one
and
time. You get a great view.
And there's no
minutes.
View.
30 minutes, right?
It's the highest Ferris wheel
okay.
in the world. I think it's good view.
No, there's buildings all around three sides of it.
There's like a couple of views. I did it.
Okay.
Last.
Did you have much of a view?
Last October, yeah. So
did you
what
have
we found out? No. Okay. They don't let you do that anymore.
It's 550 feet tall.
That's
they don't
tall.
Let you do that anymore yet. This is my point.
Okay.
Is it started off? You get in there and you go around for half an hour, and you're like, it's expensive and boring. So now there's bars in each pod.
Right, I know that.
Right?
Yeah.
But if you look at it, that wasn't the original plan. The bar is like on wheels, and it's mobile, and there's like a bartender in there. So now you pay like $50 to get in there, and you can buy drinks, or you can like pay for drinks in advance. Like you can.
Isn't there a thing where like all you can drink during?
There is,
the thing?
Yeah, for like $60.
But only in there 30 minutes. So
right,
like,
you gotta chug a lot, chug a lot.
Yeah, you gotta go thirsty. You can't have to pee, and and you gotta bring like a bucket of like Bud Light. Yeah, so I went up there with our friend Robert Angelo, who's a big a producer and director. He did Jay Leno's Garage for years. A friend of ours named Tyson Sullivan, who's a good actor, and another camera guy. And Tyson doesn't drink.
Don't tell us you had sex in it.
No.
Okay,
Tyson
good.
Doesn't drink. So I was like,
cameras,
I was like, that's $50 wasted on that loser.
Right, so you got the package where you got the drinks included is what you're saying.
Yes. So the bar was an afterthought. We did the whole thing. You're like, it's cool. We took a lot of photos. Those guys are all like film nerds, so their photos were like awesome. And I'm standing there with Tyson going, they should let you just like – smoke bomb this thing, like the guy, like if you just if you could just get in there with like the, like if they made that pod a bong pod,
yeah,
you know,
that,
like
it doesn't need to be a bong pod, just get in and make it a hot box,
yeah, just that's it
in there,
like if you could hot box that thing and have some drinks, it would be fantastic. So basically you have to do that in your hotel room before you get in there, and then I just saw like the natural progression, like if they want to make this thing make money,
man.
I was like, you've got to put the hookers in there. You know, like, because first there was nothing in there. Now there's a bar in there. Now you got to put hookers in there.
Now you got to put hookers in there?
A little extreme because sex isn't allowed. How about just strippers?
Wait a minute.
Okay, lap dances.
There you go. Poles, stripper poles.
All we need is a little
shift and stare is becoming Man Seeks Adventure.
To be fair, every other pod could be man, girl, boy, girl, boy, girl. You could do strippers and the Chippendale dudes.
No, this isn't the one I wanted, man. I wanted that one.
You can request, how about you reserve your pod and you request what you want. I'd like this bartender. We want these types of drinks. We want this type of
I'm just saying, for what they charge to ride in that pod...
You should get
a little more entertainment would be okay.
Let's see. So
and the worst job in the world is being the bartender girl who's trapped in that thing with like the smelly, rude guy that's trying to impress his friend. Yes,
like,
she's in there.
Bro,
she's a bartender.
Bro,
yeah,
I need some Grey Goose vodka.
Hey, what are you doing after you know after we ride around for 30 minutes in this ball? She's probably like, jeez, this is the worst thing ever. Like,
how did I get this job? I came to Vegas to be, you know, like a dealer and make good tips, and I'm...
Is that what you go to Vegas for?
I don't know. I go to Vegas to party. And
who moves to Vegas to live there, though? I mean...
Penn Jillette,
yes.
Celine Dion. Well, I mean, if you're going to do a big Vegas show, which actually it used to be...
Penn Jillette.
You made it by that. Now you can be a celebrity and do a Vegas show.
Penn Jillette is so funny. He does a show like at the Rio.
Rules.
Huh?
I don't know who that is.
Penn and Teller.
Oh, okay. What's Penn Jillette?
Penn Jillette is his name. Penn and Teller are two guys, and Penn Jillette is the big guy that
and
talks.
And Teller's the guy that talks all the time?
No, he's the little guy.
I know, he didn't
so Penn is a good friend. Penn has a podcast on Corolla Network, and he's good friends with Adam. And he's, again, I don't know why this happens all the time, but it's the big guy in the little car syndrome. Right?
No, I don't get it.
Yeah, big guy in a little car.
Like what little car is he driving?
Like Adam Carolla's 6'2" and a half. He likes the Mini Cooper.
Oh,
he owned a Mini Cooper, right?
Oh, really?
Penn Jillette's got to be 6'4".
Oh, he's huge. Yeah,
yeah, and he's lost a lot of weight, but he didn't always be skinny. And he had a Mini Cooper, and then he got like a Nissan Leaf because he's like, I just go. Yeah, he's like, I live in my house, and then And by like 5 o'clock or whatever in the afternoon, he drives to the Rio to do his show, and then he goes home after his show.
Did he understand that the car is an extension? I mean, you might as well be as comfortable in your car as you are in your
house.
He's
just like, I just want, like...
Maybe they are more comfortable in the small cars because they feel big in real life. So, like, the small
car... Yeah, but a Leaf?
It's kind of like being wrapped... It's like in the womb. It's like you're wrapped in, like, a swaddle. Like, you're in a small little car. Makes you feel comfortable.
You see the Leaf.
You know? Like,
you see Pendulette.
It's, like, very comfortable. I don't know. That's the only thing I can come
up with. Down the road
just, like
that.
Sideways, Penn's driving the thing, and it's, yeah. like, scraping on the driver's side. Penn's, it's like, he's like, I don't want to go to the gas station. I got to go to the show every day. I'm like, you're Penn Jillette. You have the number one show. Why don't you just have the Rio send a Tahoe to pick you up every day? It's like, just send a...
Rio would send the car to pick him up.
He doesn't want it. I was like, I hope at least they pay for the lease.
Shifton Steer sends a car to pick you up every time.
Damn right they do.
Can Seeks Adventures start sending cars? That'd be nice.
Well, nobody's ever asked.
Nobody's ever asked.
A Leaf.
Besides, yeah, between your private plane and everything else, I don't know if you guys.
I send a
it.
Helicopter for for Heather. She just picks her up on a roof and.
You know, guys. Seriously though, I've never been in a helicopter.
You've never been in a helicopter.
No,
really.
I want to though.
I have a good helicopter
have
story.
You ever been in a private jet?
No.
Really?
You've been in a private jet.
Okay.
Or a helicopter. I am not spoiled.
You know why? You're too
not
tall.
Not spoiled here.
You're not hanging with Matt and I enough.
Too tall.
Yeah, too tall. That's it. Because
private jets are for short guys.
Private jets, otherwise you're...
Private jets are like for short guys. So I did...
What's the best helicopter ride?
Okay. So I
a
did...
A Jet Ranger.
I did this celebrity stock car race in Irwindale, which was
he
a few years ago.
This up on every episode.
Because you should.
Everyone's heard it.
That's right. You haven't heard it. And the 9 listeners haven't heard it. I did this race.
When
we went out there with
the
some friends.
Fox body, okay?
I'm not going to mention my car.
Almost got you.
Until after this story.
Okay.
We went out there. We did this race. And we had some great guys in there. Our friend Eric Valdez, he's been on the show before. And Trisha Helfer, she's a sweetheart.
She's
she was on that.
Show.
She's been on the show. She was there. I think Brett Davern did it with us.
Yes.
We talked with him at Long Beach Grand Prix. And Lorenzo Lamas. Hasn't been on the show. Did the show Renegade back in the day. Really, really sweet guy.
Falcon Crest, right?
Yes. Did that too, I believe. He's a helicopter pilot.
Yeah. Oh, I remember this story.
He's a helicopter pilot. We went out. We did the race in like a September. And then like 2 weeks later... I invited some people out to my birthday, and he showed up, and he's like, hey, man, it's like, we really need to go out in the helicopter. He's like, this will be great. And he goes, I will be your teacher. And I wanted to go in a helicopter, and then I thought to myself, Lorenzo Lamas is going to be my helicopter teacher. I want to do that.
Yeah.
So I just followed up. I called him up. I was like, dude, let's do it. Whatever it costs, I'll rent the helicopter, do the whole thing. He's like, you just pay for the helicopter. Everything else is on me. We went out to Van Nuys. We spent about an hour talking about helicopters. And then we got in the helicopter, and he taught me how to fly.
So you, when you got in initially,
he took off.
About it. He got in the driver's seat, and he
and
took off.
Yeah, there's a pilot, co-pilot. This is a small 4-person helicopter. He got it going, and we got up in the air. And outside of Van Nuys, there's like a big field kind of area. And he's like, this is what you do. This is how you do it.
We crash in the field. We're fine.
He's like, take the stick. And like, I had a fairly okay, like a technical idea of how the helicopter works.
Because it takes coordination.
It does. What you don't realize is...
I don't know
you have to do feet and hands.
So here's
Walk
the thing.
Us through it.
Okay, so there's one stick in front of you, right? And that stick basically goes left, right, forward, back.
And you hold that with your right hand.
Yeah, okay, but...
Oh, by the way, yes, Heather Storm does a velocity show.
on your left side, there's another lever that pulls up and down, almost like the e-brake in a car.
Right.
Okay? And that makes it go up and down. Okay?
The others go forward, back.
So,
right,
yeah, the stick in front of you is forward, back, left, and right.
Guides it on the same plane. The stick moves it with different planes.
And then the feet make it rotate.
And then
right?
the feet control the tail rotor so you can rotate.
My God, that's a lot.
Yes.
Okay? So here's the thing is when you go forward, you need to increase thrust to the engine as well. So when you go forward, you have to go up slightly. So you put your stick forward and you pull up slightly. And it keeps it level and it gets going. So hovering which they make look amazing on TV and film, is difficult. So imagine that the helicopter's hanging underneath the tail, underneath the rotor. The helicopter just hangs like a random ball. You just flop around. The rotor is in place. So you just hang there just like a ball, just like a loose tooth, right? So keeping that thing steady is
really
tough.
Difficult.
And it just comes with the experience. So when you're flying forward, it's smoother. But when you try to hover, you're just bouncing around and bouncing.
You're maneuvering
it's
all of the
different it's like
things.
It's like trying to sit still on a boat while you're in waves.
Right.
You know, there's no way. Like, you stand there on the boat and the boat's moving underneath your feet. Imagine trying to, like, keep your head straight so you're moving your feet, you know. But it's like that. So
It sounds a little bit like patting your head and rubbing your stomach.
It kind of is.
Yeah.
But it's
plus you got to jog in place.
And then
at
I need another hand to have to do that. Yeah.
But it's pretty fantastic. So we went out there and we hovered and we got very low to the ground without landing, and then flew around a little bit. And you're pretty low. So what we did was, he's like, just follow this road. It was like Van Nuys Boulevard. He's like, follow along Van Nuys Boulevard.
Not that low, Matt.
And he said, basically what you do is you want to maintain the same height no matter where you are. He goes, so you'll see there's power lines down the road, and the power lines obviously change with the terrain. So if the road goes up, the power lines go up.
You know?
Yeah. He goes, you're roughly this high, whatever, above the power lines. He goes, fly forward and roughly stay that high. If the road goes up, power lines go up, you go up.
And how high are you above the power lines? Because that's a little
scary. I don't
know.
We weren't that high. I mean,
it was pretty low. Dream that I've had for years.
It was fun.
That I'm flying a helicopter and I hit power lines. I don't know what that means.
Is that a real thing?
It really is.
Yeah.
And I'm like going,
means you're too
what
low.
Does that mean?
It means you're too low and Lorenzo Lamas was not your instructor.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It means you want to do all the things and you're getting a little hung up on following the lines.
Yeah.
Now, I will tell a quick story about helicopters, and since we're here at the Barker Hangar, I have an acquaintance that I won't mention, but he was a very avid helicopter pilot, a very wealthy guy, had a beautiful Bell Jet Ranger jet-propelled helicopter, and
that's like a $5 million helicopter.
He had Kirk Douglas in with him.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And he pulled it out of his hangar over here, and I guess, as I understand, you are supposed to, you know, you're supposed to elevate, rotate in place, and then taxi out just like a plane would. Taxi out
right.
and take off.
But if your helicopter's on skids, you have to get up in the air to
right, that's what I'm saying. You had to elevate, rotate.
If there's some helicopters that have the retractable landing gear, you can actually drive that on the ground and taxi a little bit.
Well, he'd done it so many times right here at the Santa Monica Airport, and he thought, you know, he's just used to it. He's got Kirk Douglas in there with him. He's taking him for a ride. And he just kind of elevated, started backing up and turning at the same time. Well, he didn't see the jet that was taxiing.
Oh, my God.
Smacked his tail rotor, and the thing flipped and into the ground. The ground. And I guess, like, Kirk Douglas, like, broke his collarbone and his hip. And
no!
It wasn't a good deal. But he got his license back.
When
back
was this?
Flying again. This was probably, like, 95, something like that.
So Kirk Douglas was only, like, 90 back then.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, he's old then.
He was still an older gentleman.
Yeah.
And it was like, how would you like to be like, hey, Kirk, you there? Are you okay, man?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was like,
by the way, I don't want to be the guy that breaks Kirk Douglas's hip.
Yeah.
You know,
I was
like,
going to say, I don't think that guy worked again.
No, he did.
No, because he wasn't a helicopter pilot. He was a rich guy with a helicopter license.
Yeah, he was a rich
license.
Guy with a helicopter. So
yeah, that's different. Yeah, that's different. Anyway, this was fun. I would say if you can do it. Also, Lorenzo Lamas was in L.A. at the time, and he does helicopter tours. So, like, if you wanted to do, like, a helicopter tour of L.A.,
he'd be like,
you could hire Lorenzo Lamas to be your
crazy
tour guide. And he also did the trips to Catalina.
Does he
back.
Still have, like, really long hair?
He did not. No,
okay.
He did
so
not.
So he's not like flipping his hair.
But
he's
in New York now, and he does like those like City of Manhattan helicopter flights
really?
And stuff. He's in a bigger helicopter.
Wow.
He's moved up. And his story about it was great. Was back when he was doing a lot of TV and film. You know, he was married. He had daughters, but his daughters were very young, and he was already divorced. But the his ex-wife and his kids lived in Arizona. So he was flying back every weekend to go see his kids. And he's like, well, that's ridiculous. It takes a lot of time and it costs money. So he got a pilot's license and he started flying a plane back
and forth.
Because
that's so much cheaper.
Right? And it was. It was more fun.
Yeah,
and it was cheaper.
A little more autonomous, at least.
Yes.
You know, he said it was more fun. It was on
you
his schedule. And it actually was cheaper,
yeah.
You know? And then when his girls got older, they're like in college now or whatever. And, you know, when you're a teenager, you got more of your life. You don't need to see your dad every weekend. He's like, well, I don't want to stop flying. And planes are kind of boring to me. Started taking up helicopters. And now he flies helicopters all over New York.
That's a great story. We got way off track, but that was a great story. Heather,
it kind of fits the shift and steer thing.
And before we wrap it up, though, let's talk a little bit about, now you're in here from Chicago. Your show's gone to an hour now. And tell us about what you're doing this season.
I am super excited about Garage Squad this season because, as you said, we went from half an hour to 1 hour.
Season three?
This is season four of Garage Squad. So we're super stoked on that because, you know, it's a big deal when you get greenlit to go for a half an hour and they're like, hey, your show's doing so well that we want to see twice as much of you guys. Cool. And we're
all
right.
We want twice as much, but we don't want to pay you any more than
money. Hey, I didn't say any of that.
You're like,
listen, you know what? The interesting part is it gives us the opportunity to do a little bit bigger builds. Because we have a couple more days per build. So we can take on a little bit more, which means we get to do bigger transformations this year. And that's really exciting. And we've gotten to go also, because it's season four, you get a little more in the budget. So we can go a little bit more outside Chicago. So some of these places, we went to Pontiac, Illinois. You guys know Pontiac, Illinois?
I've heard of it.
Route 66 goes right through it.
Have you been to Urbana?
I haven't, no.
Is there a car named Urbana?
Is that?
I don't know.
Because that's the only reason I've heard of Pontiac, Illinois.
Yeah. Well, Pontiac was there, but in Pontiac, Illinois, they have a lot. I have a Pontiac museum that I went to that has, well, they have a rotating 60 different Pontiacs, and they have more than that. They have like a library of every Pontiac manual you could ever want.
Really?
Like any collector, like anything you collect about Pontiacs, they have in that museum. It's pretty incredible.
And why would they have that there?
Well, apparently the couple was originally in Oklahoma, and they came to Pontiac to visit and said, and the guy had collected a bunch of Pontiacs, and he said, hey, do you want to start a Pontiac museum here? And he contacted the mayor. No, and they contacted the city officials, and they're like, yeah, that'd be great. Let's start a Pontiac museum. And like within a year, they had it up and going, and it's one of the most popular things. I mean, it's a really cool town out in the middle of nowhere. So we stayed out there. So we're filming in these like small towns where people have these really cool cars, talking about barnyard finds. We had a really cool truck we did this season. So I'm just excited to showcase all the different vehicles that we had and just to kind of show the different types of builds.
When's it going to air?
We don't have the exact air date yet. I've been bugging the network, but we're looking at end of August.
So we're not halfway through a season. You can go and see all of these builds.
See the whole series.
Yeah,
I will let you guys know when it airs. I'm excited. I'm bugging them about when are we going to come out with this? Because so we have 10 episodes this season, and it should be 1 hour each. So we're super stoked.
But now you're a few episodes in. You got a little more grease on your fingernails, a little more grit in your teeth.
Yeah, dude.
A little more rust in your eye if you don't have the right goggles on like I never do.
No, I actually hurt my eye last year.
Did you? Yeah.
I had to go to the eye doctor in the middle of the... I woke up one morning. I just thought my contact... I wear contacts, so I thought my contact was just bugging me, as they do, you know. And I was running, and I just thought, oh, my contact's just kind of bothering me. I woke up the next day. I couldn't even open my eyes. I mean, I opened them, and it was searing pain. Like, I don't know how to describe it. Like, someone shooting pain, like a laser amount of pain into your brain.
Yeah.
Because anything I looked at that was light, it was like, I couldn't even look at anything. I mean, it was horrific. I think I got something from the garage. It wasn't a hangover, Brad.
Oh. Yours wasn't a hangover?
It wasn't a hangover. Mine was not a hangover. It was a legitimate garage issue, which is why on these next episodes, you always see me with goggles because
you should be wearing goggles.
Well, I had goggles on before, but now I'm just extra particular about it.
Speed makes protective eyewear. That is,
really?
You should be wearing that along with your body.
You know what? The truth is like I'll go and I'll work on the car and I'll have the goggles on, and then when I'm done, I'll take the goggles off, and somewhere between there and washing my hands, I'll rub something.
That's exactly
And I'll be like, oh, I'm like, what's going on with my eye?
Yeah.
and my mom would be like, "You've got a sty, something's in your eye," and then you just stand. Like, you got to just stand in the shower, like a hot shower, just flush out your eye for like an hour or something.
That's exactly what happened to me, because I'd have the goggles on, I'm fine, I have the gloves on, everything, and then, you know, I just get an itch, and I'm used to just, I just scratch the itch.
There's something right there.
And then I got grease or oil or brake cleaner or who knows what on my fingers, and I just put it in my eye. Well, I wish it was just whiskey.
That would clean it. Now, that would sterilize it a bit.
Exactly. Now, have in all your travels, you've been to Rockford, Illinois yet?
I haven't been to Rockford yet. Why do I have to go there?
Remember, we talked about this on Man Seeks Adventure, that that's my birthplace, and you've got to go see the plaque.
Oh, I forgot that was
there's a plaque with your name on it?
There's a plaque outside of the hospital that says, "This is where Brad Fanchot was born. Please don't come back, Brad."
He's never been back since.
Please don't come back.
Please don't come back.
No, you guys, I'm excited, though, and stoked for a great season. I mean, everyone is, and we got a lot of good cars that we've done, and we're really stoked to have everyone.
Whose yellow hot rod was that you were...
That was a guy that just came by to say hello. Yeah. You know...
He heard your podcast.
We have a lot of people that come by. They kind of... I kind of give clues if you... are following me on social media, you'll kind of see that I'm in Pontiac, Illinois. You'll see, and I get fans saying, "Oh, you know, I drove by and I saw the Garage Squad van." And sometimes, please don't come by all the time, but sometimes on the reveal day, it is okay on the reveal day for some people to stop by and say hello, because we're just revealing the car and it's that kind of. Now, don't interrupt.
Mostly you're not welcome.
They see the Garage Squad van and they're like, "Oh my God, I have to stop by." But you know what? They're usually in their classic car that they built, that they're excited to show us. And you know what? And that's exactly what this yellow hot rod
was. Right. The reveal day seems more fun. Like, that's when you want to go.
That's the party day. We did the work. The work is over. It's time to party.
Yeah. Or you could put them to work on a work day. You say, "Hey, go grind that. Get the stuff in your eye, not in mine."
You get to drive the cars around. By the way, I just heard somebody fire up a car up there on the stage over at the Auctions
America.
I think
we got to wrap this episode up. I mean, we're like well into it. So,
okay.
But we had a great time here. Heather, thanks for stopping in.
Thanks so much for having me, guys.
Thanks for flying in just to see us.
Yeah, right. She just landed in her private jet that Velocity got her just to, you know, come to see us for the big Shift and Steer.
I believe you up until you said Velocity got her in the private jet. Yeah, that didn't happen. We know that didn't happen.
Okay, it was the Discovery jet.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe. Maybe.
Okay, it was this guy that came by to see the reveal, and he happened to have a private jet.
Aaron Weiss got me a private jet here.
Exactly.
That seems more believable. So,
no, but hey, everybody, thanks for listening to another edition of Shift and Steer right here live from Barker Hangar in Santa Monica, California. It's been a really cool event. A lot different than the RM auction in Monterey, but a really cool eclectic mix of cars. We'll show some photos. And Matt, where can they find us online?
Yeah, check us out at shiftandsteer.com, and we're on social media at ShiftSteer Media. And of course, this podcast, you guys can get it on the Podcast One mobile app, on the Corolla Digital mobile app, and you can get it on iTunes. We appreciate the good reviews, and tell a friend.
Thanks for listening, everybody, and thanks, Heather, for stopping by.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.